There's a movement creating quite a buzz through Wisconsin as more and more communities are picking up the trend. No Mow May is a project anyone with a lawn can participate in. It's pretty simple. You just don't mow your lawn for the month of May. No Mow May helps protect habitats for pollinators, especially bees, giving them food sources as they emerge from winter hibernation. What do you think of that idea? Call in at 800-642-1234. Are you already doing this? What do you think about it? Do you worry about the neighbors complaining? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Two researchers at Lawrence University adopted the program in Appleton a couple years back after hearing about a group starting No Mow May in the UK. Relena Ribbons is an assistant professor of geosciences at Lawrence University. Relena, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Israel Del Toro is an assistant professor of biology also at Lawrence University. Israel, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
Well, Israel, let's first talk about the problem we're trying to help solve here. A bee species in decline. What is happening? Why are their habitats threatened?
Well, one of the things that we often don't think about is that bee biodiversity is actually really high. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we have over 500 different species of native bees. And most of these bees are solitary bees, meaning that they overwinter underground for the duration of the winter and hibernate. Right around May is when these things start to come out of hibernation. And so providing early foraging food sources for these pollinators is a really important thing to do this time of year. Overall, like, we're seeing bee decline around the world, and it's due to a variety of factors. Chief among them, we would argue, is habitat loss. So the idea that nesting habitat and foraging habitat for bees is declining globally, but also the complex effects of climate change and overuse of chemical pesticides and herbicides can play a major role in declining bee populations.
Relena, it sounds like a big problem. How can we make a difference in our own backyard just by not mowing for that an extra month of spring?
Exactly. That's one good step for providing the habitat for bees that are just emerging, and also giving them those food resources. They're coming out pretty hungry, and they have these local early flowering species, because we do see a lot of additional food resources blooming later on in the summer months of June and July. But especially in May, there aren't a lot of things that are out flowering. And this is one way you can help your native bees.
And Israel, you have made the case in your local community. We're seeing other places take it up now. Are people enthusiastic about the idea of letting the lawn grow for an extra month? We do like to break up the lawnmowers, I think, here in Wisconsin.
Sure. I mean, everybody likes to, have a nice hot summer day and break out the lawnmower and have a nice cold beverage. But there's actually a lot of support from this. Right now, there's currently 35 cities across Wisconsin and the U.S. that have signed up and actually passed local citizen ordinances to allow No Mow May to come into effect this year. So I think there's overwhelming. I think we're going a little viral here.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Adams. Chris, hi.
Hi. I did this, and I ended up with the police in my yard telling me that I had to mow my lawn or I was getting a ticket. I think you need to check with your local authorities, and then you have to fight for this. But I think the more that we talk about it, the better, because it's getting the word out.
Chris, thanks for the call. And Relena, that's what's happening in a lot of these communities. People aren't just winging it. They're actually passing ordinances to say, yeah, for May, you can be exempt from that requirement. Is that what's happening?
Yes. So that's part of what that very first year of No Mow May was really focused on, was getting the city and the community on board with the idea of even allowing people to have their lawns grow above. For Appleton, it's 8 inches, but it varies by local ordinance. And getting that exemption before you try to make something permanent is one step. Like, try for one season of No Mow May, see if you can get the community on board.
And we do encourage people to check with their local authorities to make sure that their participation is legal in their municipality. We don't want anybody breaking the law. We want to make sure that folks are doing this in an orderly way and that their community is behind it. And if your community isn't behind it, this is a good chance to contact your alderman or your mayor and let them know that you'd like to see No Mow May enacted in your community.
Thanks for the call, Chris. We're talking to Relena Ribbons, assistant professor of geosciences, and Israel Del Toro, assistant professor of biology, both at Lawrence University. They're making the case for No Mow May, an effort to protect the habitat of pollinators in your own yards and maybe local parks. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Could you go that whole month of May without mowing your lawn? Have you heard of other people trying this out? Is this a happening? Has there been an ordinance change in your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Relena Ribbons and Israel Del Toro from Lawrence University. They're telling us about No Mow May and the ecological benefits of not mowing your lawn for that month of May, a key time for key pollinators here in the state. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Carrie is with us in Reedsburg. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Carrie?
Well, so my husband loves his turf lawn, and we have found in the past that when we let the lawn get too long, we do have a problem with some of those weeds like Creeping Charlie coming in and creating a problem. So what do we have that we can reassure our turf lovers with? We're in favor of this No Mow May.
Carrie, thanks for the call. Either of you have any thoughts for people who, you know, want to keep that lawn, don't want to let things get too out of hand?
There are a variety of low mow grass species that we would encourage people to plant so that if you still want to have a lawn that you're mowing and just mowing a little less frequently.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And we also just want to ensure that, you know, people understand that maybe things that we normally address as weeds are actually really important parts of the ecosystem that are feeding other critters. So while a dandelion or some Creeping Charlie or some clover or some mint blooming in your yard might be unsightly for you for just a little bit, maybe a short period of time, let's say 1 month long, then, you know, the benefits of that tend to outweigh our discomfort. You know, we are providing a way to be a little bit more in balance with the nature in our backyards.
Thanks for that call. Rebecca joins us now in Madison. Rebecca, hi.
Hi. I called because I heard about No Mow May two or three weeks ago on Wisconsin Public Radio on some other program and thought, okay, I'll contact my lawn service and say, do only the front lawn because it's mm-hmm. small, the front lawn. And my back lawn, which is much larger, is fenced in mostly with a privacy fence. So mm-hmm. I'll just have the front lawn done with the fertilizer. They put a broadleaf on it, too, and I'll mow the front lawn. But I'm thinking I'm just going to leave my back lawn and because I don't mind dandelions. Gotcha. My neighbors, I'm sure, do.
Rebecca, thanks for that call. Israel, that's an interesting point. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Absolutely not. You know, and this is an entirely voluntary opt-in sort of movement. If you are comfortable with letting your lawn grow for just a couple of weeks or two or three weeks, no big deal. Yeah, go ahead and mow when, you know, it becomes a problem for you. But the more and the longer we can leave our lawns untouched or the larger spaces like the backyard, for example, bees don't care if there's a dandelion in your backyard or your front yard. They're going to go to that resource wherever it is. So that's an excellent idea. We support that entirely.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for that call. Relena, I want to expand out of our yards now. Are there other pieces of habitat this time of year, especially that are key to the pollinators we're hoping to protect here?
Yeah, areas like city parks, areas next to highways, any sort of location that has to be mowed out of practical reasons right now that maybe doesn't really need to be a turf space, right? Like golf courses require turf. Okay. But the areas near park benches in our state parks, those could be converted to low mow or lawn alternatives like clover, for example.
Israel, how do you measure success of something like No Mow May when it comes to hopefully bringing back some of these pollinators?
One of the easy things that we measured back in 2020 here in Appleton was the diversity and the abundance of bees. So diversity refers to the number of bee species in our backyard or in these no-mow areas, and abundance of bees just refers to the sheer number of bees. And what we found was that in Appleton in 2020, There was a 5 times greater abundance of bees in no-mow areas compared to mowed areas, and a 3-time increase in bee diversity, or the number of species of bees in these no-mow areas. So overall, we're seeing a generally effective response from pollinators and in their use of these no-mow areas.
And Relena, do we have to hit a certain critical threshold, like X percent of lawns or whatever, before you really start to see a significant difference?
No, that's one of the things that's really great, is that every lawn is making a difference. So every area that you can convert or not mow for a short time period is beneficial and helpful in providing habitat or resources for bees.
Yeah, and while many bees do have large foraging ranges up to 6 miles for honeybees and bumblebees, many bees actually live within relatively small areas, areas no bigger than the size of a football field. They spend their entire lives in these small geographic areas. So a single lawn actually is a significant proportion of a bee's reality and their space and how they use it.
And Relena, both of you have worked together on research on this. What are some of the big open questions for you now on habitat for these pollinators here in Wisconsin?
So one of the future directions is to look at kind of reductions in chemical use for fertilizers or for pesticides, and seeing if there's a way to balance out the goals of having a green space like an alternative lawn, or even if you're doing a regularly mowed lawn, reducing those chemical inputs to see how that affects bee populations.
And chemicals, in particular neonicotinoids and glyphosates, which are herbicides and pesticides, are especially dangerous to our bee populations. So we want to try and find a way to find alternative solutions for pest management that do not negatively impact our bees.
And Israel, as we wrap up, I know a lot of people love to do some bird watching in Wisconsin. Do you have any advice for us if we want to see some of our native bee varieties and try to spot and record them?
Yeah, absolutely. Bumblebees are a great place to start. And one of the really cool things was that last year here in Appleton, we saw the rusty patch bumblebee, Bombus affinis, for the first time within city limits. So we're hoping that these no-mow areas are increasing habitat for rare and endangered species as well. Get out there and join efforts like the Bumblebee Brigade or the Wisconsin Bumblebee Watch and track your observations of those really cute little furry golf balls.
We'll leave it there. Israel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Relena, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
That's Relena Ribbons, Assistant Professor of Geosciences at Lawrence University, and Israel Del Toro, an Assistant Professor of Biology, also at Lawrence. They talked to us today about the benefits of no-mow May and how you can get involved in protecting bees and other pollinators here in the state.